In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are on volume 18, 11-12-1925. Okay, great. Okay, so here, Jesus says, as soon as Jesus sees the soul in his divine will, the celestial creator takes the soul in his arms and, placing her on his lap, he lets her operate with his very hands. So this is the thing that's so beautiful about the divine will. You're not doing it anymore. You're saying, Jesus, work in my working, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. And with power of that fiat in which all things were made. Okay. So the Lord lets us operate with his very hands. Okay. That's living in the divine will. Jesus, you know, walk in my walking, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, Jesus, beat in my heart beating, Jesus, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. I want you, Lord, to be alive. And he lets all his reflections descend upon the creature in order to give the soul the likeness of God operating. Okay. It seems like you're walking, but Jesus takes us at our word. Jesus is walking in our walking. Now, how can we not be happy when that is going on? How can we not be exhilarated knowing that whatever we're doing, singing, Jesus, sing in my singing, that Jesus is singing. We're with Jesus, intimately one with him. This is why the operating of the soul becomes divine light and unites that single act of her God, her creator, and constitutes itself eternal glory and continuous praise of her God. See, this is, you're letting God become alive in you. Volume 18, 124, 1926. My divine will is the mother of all human wills of the creature. Okay, so here, this is again very, very important. What God is doing is he's allowing us to experience this life, this light, this love of God. As a most tender mother, this is the divine will. She lets herself in the center of creation in order to deliver the human wills and to keep them all around herself, to raise the human wills upon her knees, to nourish the human wills with the milk of her celestial teachings, to make them grow in her likeness, giving them all creation in which to amuse themselves. So like I said, in the morning, you fuse yourself with all of creation. It belongs to you. God created everything on earth for you, everything. So like, for example, we are usually are awake. Well, let's say walking on a sandy beach. All of a sudden, what happens at that point is you see a shell on the beach and you go, oh, look at that. And you pick it up. Oh, wow. Is this God placed that shell for you from the beginning of time, waiting for you to recognize it, waiting for you to embrace it. It's the same thing with leaves on a tree, you know, but Jesus says, all that's out there is for you, is yours. And therefore, as we enter into this life, what happens is we're always happy. What are you going to show me today? What can I see today, Lord? What can I hear today, Lord? What can I smell today, Lord? What can I taste today, Lord, that you didn't show me before? And what happens is you enter into creation and you begin to see all the I love yous that are around you. How can you not be happy? But if you're focused on yourself, your misery, there's no eyes to see. There's no ears to hear. Jesus is saying, I want you to be attentive. He says that to Luis all the time. I want you to be attentive. He says very, very clearly. And since the divine will is the center of each created thing, wherever the creatures would go, the soul, as center of all things, sees and remain always near them, more than the affectionate mother, that they might never lack her maternal care, nor descend from her nobility, nor leave her likeness. So here, Jesus is saying to us, I've got great plans for you. I've got great plans for you. And I need you to begin to be aware of what I'm doing for you. So in creation, he lets us experience all that's around us in a way that is so beautiful that we participate in God. So in volume 18, 128, 1926, all created things are just as they were created. None of them has lost anything of its origin. Only man lost the life, the foundation, and therefore mankind lost his divine nobility, the divine strength, and the divine likeness of his God, of his creator. But in spite of this, Jesus says, my divine will did not leave man completely. Unable to still be his source of life and the foundation that would sustain him because he himself had withdrawn from it, it offered itself as medicine so that it might not perish completely. So my divine will is medicine. My divine will is sanctity. My divine will is preservation. My divine will is food. My divine will is life. This is what Jesus is showing us. My divine will is the fullness of and highest of divine sanctity. Do you see how there's nothing to worry about? There's nothing to complain about. In whatever way the creature wants it or does it offer itself, if she wants it as medicine, it offers itself in order to take away from her the fever of passions, the fever of weaknesses, the fever of impatience, the vertigo of pride, the sickliness of attachments, and so on with all the rest of the evils of the earth. So the divine will is the strength. Divine will is the hope. Divine will is everything. It's God. When we enter into this divine life, good things are happening for each and every one of us. If you see, this is why the command prayer is so important. Once we say, Jesus, take this prayer and make it your command, what happens? If you want medicine, it's medicine. If you want to get away from the fever of passions, of weakness, of impatience, of pride, of sickliness, of attachments, everything begins to fall away from us. We begin to live the life of heaven. We are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So Jesus says, if the soul wants it as food, it gives itself food to make her strength develop and grow in more divine sanctity. If it wants it as life, as fullness of sanctity, oh, then my divine will makes feast because it sees mankind returning back to the womb of his origin from which he came, and it offers itself to him to give him the likeness of his God, of his creator. And this is the only purpose of creation, Jesus says, to return us back to the likeness of God. My divine will never leaves man. And if it left him, it would resolve into nothing. And if man does not give himself to letting the divine will, making him a saint, this is volume 1 through volume 10, my divine will use ways to at least save the soul. See, it's not only to be, how does Jesus say it here, becoming a saint, but to then live in through the power of the Holy Spirit, living the divine life of the divine will through the power of the Holy, because it's Jesus in us that's living. That's the divine life. It's Mary in us that's living. That's the divine life. We enter into the new Adam and the new Eve, this abundant life that God wants us. And if you don't want that, Jesus says, we'll try our darndest to save you. You know, but if you want this fullness, it's yours. It's ours if we wish it. So what does he do? He gives us the book of heaven. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, great things happen in our lives. Amazing thing happens in our lives. And Jesus is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 18, 2, 7, 1926. Oh, how my divine will reigning in the soul elevates the soul above everything. And loving with the love of God, the soul can love all things with God's very love and is constituted possessor and queen of all creation. See, Jesus is I want to give you everything. When we receive Holy Communion and there's 1,000 people in there and you have one host and it's broken into 1,000 pieces, you're not just getting a piece of Jesus. You're getting all of Jesus. God wants us to receive everything. He wants us to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. He really wants us to. So it says very, very clearly, my daughter, it is the happy state that I created Adam. My divine will was to make up for all that was lacking in Adam, to elevate Adam to the likeness of his God. And this is precisely my aim upon you, Louisa, and all the little children of the Holy Divine Will, to make you, Louisa, and all the little children of the Holy Divine Will return back to the origin where we, Triune God, created Adam. What was Adam's DNA like? He was in God's image and likeness. What does our DNA say? Where we get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die, we might live close to 100, but no more. That's not what God wanted, and that's not what God wants. He's going to return us back to where we were before the fall. That's why he redeemed us. That's why Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary, with Jesus on Calvary. And now what's happening? A new era has begun. It's not everything falling apart. God's getting everything in order. Everything is going to according to his plan. So he's going to get rid of a few things. Good. He's going to let us share in his divinity. Great. This is a great time to be alive. Therefore, I, God, do not want division between me and you. There's no more division between us and God. Nor what is mine not be yours in order to give you your rights back. Get to these divine rights of living in the divine will. I, God, want you to recognize what is mine. That's all of creation, all of redemption, all of sanctification. Recognizing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Recognizing the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I want you to recognize what is mine, God says, not what you desire on earth, but what God has established, so that as you love everything and your I love you flows over all things, all creation may recognize you. They shall feel in you the echo of the beginning of the creation of Adam, and delighting in it, they shall yearn to be possessed by you. All of creation was given to Adam. We lost it. Jesus has redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with him. Now God wants to sanctify us. Everything is being brought back to us. That's why when you do your prevening act in the morning, embrace all of creation. It's yours. You are to be the possessor of all that God created, and all of the universe is yours. This is such an amazing time to be alive. Volume 18, 2/11/1926. My divine will has such power as to enclose everything and make everyone do the same thing as if we were one single act, the prime act of God, entering into that one act of God. Therefore, the great difference that passes between one who lets my divine will reign within herself and the one who lives of her own self, there's a great difference. The first one, there is a divine that will that prays, a divine will that operates, a divine will that thinks, a divine will that looks, a divine will that suffers. At each of the motion of this soul, it moves heaven and earth and connects everything together in such a way that all feel the divine power of the divine will operating in that soul. That then they recognize in that soul the divine nobility, the divine likeness, the divine offspring of their God. And as the daughter of the celestial family, all protect her. Do you hear that? All protect her. There's nothing to be afraid of. All assist her, all defend her, as long as to have her together with them in the celestial fatherland. We become one with God in the prime act of God. this is the thing that's going to astonish us for all eternity, that God loves us so much that he calls us to be his children. And we are going to feel the power of the divine will operating in us. That's what you can pray for, to feel the divine will operating in us, to recognize us, our divine nobility, recognize in us the likeness and offspring of God, and be part of this celestial family, that we are all protected, assisted, defended, all of heaven together with us, so that we enter into the celestial fatherland. This is what's coming. This is what's here. All we got to do now is recognize it. Volume 19, 223, 1926. Our little newborn of our divine will, that's Louisa, united with a single act of the eternal one, was to always do one single act, that the prime act of God, that is to remain always in continuous act of being born, doing always one single act, and that is in God's most holy divine will. So part of the prayer for your prevening act is to end with, I want to enter into the divine will. I want to possess the divine will. I want to fuse myself with the divine will. Why? So that I can enter the prime act of God. This is what God wants for us, to enter into the prime act of God, participate in, with, through, and for God, as God is participating in, with, through, and for us. This is why we were created. Jesus says, I want you to enter into the single act of God, the divine will. And while doing one single act, the soul will be reborn continuously. But reborn to what? To new divine beauty, new divine sanctity, new divine light, new divine likeness of her God. And as you are reborn in our most holy divine will, the divinity feels repaid. The divinity feels the purpose for which it was you issued by creation, in creation. It feels the divine joy, the divine happiness that the creature was to give it and come back to it. We're to give to God the divine, I love you. We're to come back to our origin, back to the womb of the Father. Volume 19, 3, 9, 1926. Our divine love for Adam was so great as to surpass all the love that we had in creation. So the all that God has created in heaven, the ultimate that God gave was Adam. Therefore, we endowed Adam with reason, memory, and will. Okay, the three powers, intellect, memory, and will. Placing our divine will within his, as though in a bank, we, triune God, wanted Adam to multiply it, to increase it 100-fold, not for us who did not need it, but for his own good, that he might not remain like the other created things, mute and fixed at the point in which we, God, issued it. The sun will always be in the sky. The star, the moon, the stars, the moon, the planets will always be in the sky. This is at their mute and fixed point. He says, but for mankind, that we might forevermore glory in the divine riches and the divine love and in the divine likeness of God. We're to grow closer and closer and closer to this life of God, that we might grow evermore in the glory and riches and the love and the likeness of our God. There's no end to this. It's infinite. We are for all eternity, and we'll never reach the end. For all eternity, we're going to grow evermore in glory, evermore in riches, evermore in love, and evermore in the likeness of God. And Jesus says, I want you to start this now, while on earth. I want you to begin to live heaven now on earth. We should be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Nothing should be bothering us if we really believe what Jesus just said. And so that he might find all possible imaginable aids, we, triune God, gave Adam our divine will at his disposal, and Adam might achieve with our very will our very divine power, the divine good, the divine growth, the divine likeness of his God that he wants to acquire. In creating Adam, our love wanted to play a risky game by placing all our divine things within the little circle of the human will, as though in a bank. Our divine beauty, our divine wisdom, our divine sanctity, our divine love, etc. And our divine will was to be the guide and the actor of his operating, not only to make Adam grow in our divine likeness, but to give him the shape of a little God. That doesn't mean we become gods. We're in God's image and likeness. We can't become gods. We're not gods. But he says, I want you to possess everything as if you were a little God. What does that mean? When we pray the command prayer, Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. We're like Peter in the water. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water and he says, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water. That's a divine thing. Humans don't do that. But when we give our prayer to Jesus, see, this is why God wants us alive at this time. When we give our prayer to Jesus and say, make it your command, God does it. Ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. There's nothing beyond what we give to God with confidence and trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Good things are coming. Jesus says, miracles that are unheard of are going to be happening with the souls living in the divine will. Volume 19, 3, 14, 19, 26, you must know, this is a command from Jesus Christ, that my Immaculate Mama herself is newborn of my divine will, because in comparing what the Creator is and what the creature can be, and taking from God, Our Lady can be called a little newborn. And because Our Lady was the newborn of my divine will, she was formed in the likeness of her Creator and could be queen of all of creation. And as queen, she dominated everything. Her echo ran well with the echo of the divine will. And not only because of the celestial lady, but all the saints, all the angels, because it can be called just newly born in the eternal will of God. That's what God wants for us. If we are to follow the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus is saying to us, I want you to possess their DNA to as much or as little as you want, 30, 60, or 100-fold. Louisa possesses it 100-fold, Jesus says. Why? She's the firstborn, the newborn of this new era that's coming upon the earth. We are invited to this new era, but we have to pass the test. To pass the test, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That's what's coming. So we have to work for this. We have to receive what Our Lady has received. We have to receive this life of Jesus, this life of Mary that was given to Louisa. God is waiting for us to be called newborn in the divine will. What does that mean? Your life is of heaven, not of earth anymore. That's what God is waiting for. And what Jesus tells Louisa is, it's going to happen. Volume 19, 3, 31, 19, 26, my daughter, this divine light, this divine dwelling is so enchanting, which neither knows sunset or night. There's no more darkness. See, what's coming, when the evil one is banished, well, that's the great miracle that's coming. But even a greater miracle is going to happen. When he's banished from earth as he was banished from heaven, Jesus says there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. Paradise is coming back. Eternity is where we belong. Our Lady of Revelation says to Bruno, my daughter, this light, this dwelling is so enchanting, which knows neither sunset nor night, no more darkness. This is my divine will. Everything is completed in the divine will. What? Divine happiness, divine strength, divine beauty, divine knowledge of the Supreme Being. This divine light is so endless, which is our most holy divine will, that came out of the womb of divinity as the heritage of mankind. The most beautiful and divine inheritance that we, triune God, could give to Adam. It came out of our innermost womb, bringing with itself a share of all our divine works to let the creature inherit them. This is the divine inheritance of the Father, to form mankind all beautiful and all holy in the likeness of the one triune God who created him. That's our life. And as you read, as you enter into this, it's like going through a room. The door opens and you keep on walking in. And this is what Jesus tells Louisa. You're going to discover new and more beautiful things that you have never seen before. As you read the book of heaven, as you walk through this room, new and glorious things are going to be revealed to you. God, this is what God has planned. Wait till you see. I mean, things are going to astonish you like never before. Volume 19, 416, 1926. My daughter, everything that you experience, your full abandonment in the arms of a celestial father, no longer feeling your own human life, is the image of living in my divine will. Now think about that. Let's just go back to what we were talking about Sunday. You're going to no longer feel your own life. You're going to be in the image of living in my divine will. That's why we dress appropriately for Sunday. What do? We want to make sure that God is respected. We don't want to look like bums. We don't want to look like slobs. It says, you know, we want to get out of the mud. I mean, that's basically going to confession. We want to look beautiful inside and out as much as we can for him. He says, you'll no longer feel your own life. What do I do? What do? How do I look? No, how I want you to look, how I want to present you to the world. Jesus. He says very clearly, the creature must live. He says, in fact, in order to live in the divine will, the creature must live more of God than of herself. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means to present to the world Jesus, to present to the world this, I divine, I love you. Peaceful, joyful, happy. Not as a bum, not as a slob, but to give Jesus to the world. This is what it's all about. He says, the image of the living God in my divine will. You must live in the divine will. The creature must live more of God than of herself. Even more, the nothing, that's us, must give life to the all, to be able to do everything and have her act at the top of all the other acts of all of humanity. No matter what the saints have done, there's more that God is going to give. Such was the life of my divine mother. Mary was the true image of living in my divine will. We follow her example. Mary, living in the divine will, was so perfect that she did nothing but receive from God continuously all that she was able to do in order to live in the supreme will of God. Volume 19, 5, 1, 26. Do you see then how much I, God, love you? With what jealousy I, God, keep you and nourish you? With my very breath. See that Ruah of God, that breath of God. When you breathe in the breath of Jesus. With my very breath, because only my breath can preserve whole and permanent the life of my divine will in the soul who must live in my divine will. I told you that once before. At the consecration, I pray every day at the consecration for all the souls who must live in the divine will. It's not everybody. Jesus says there will be only a very few, because it's to give up everything. Not what you want, but what God wants. Not what you want to possess, but what God wants you to possess. It's not our intellect, human intellect. It's to reflect with the mind of Christ. It's not our memory, but it's to remember Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. How? Through the Holy Rosary. It's to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, looking at him, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, falling in love with him. God's got great plans, and he's explaining to us very clearly today what he wants for us to do. So he says, because only my breath can preserve whole and permanent the life of my divine will in the soul who must live in my divine will. And so that breath with so much love I breathed from my bosom in the creation of Adam was to infuse in Adam my divine likeness. And I, God, continue to infuse in the soul who lives in my divine will. That means he keeps on breathing in us. He wants us to be in his image and likeness, not our image and likeness. His image and likeness. In order to form my true images in the great portents that I have established to form in creation for which all things were made. Under God's rule, God's reign, God's life, God's divine will. Volume 19, 5, 6, 1926. My mama came into the world after 4,000 years. Yet in the eyes of God, she came before Adam. Her acts, her love are in the first order of creatures. Therefore, Our Lady's acts come before all the acts of all of humanity, because Our Lady was the closest to God. Our Lady was bound to God with the tightest bonds of divine sanctity, divine union, and divine likeness. What is her triumph? Her triumph is we become like her son. We follow her to become like her son. By living in our divine will, Our Lady's acts became inseparable from God's. And because of inseparability, these acts are the closest as something natural to her creator. She's mother and queen because she gave up everything that was human. Jesus was God and man, and he never did his human will. Why? Because God wants us divinized. He wants us to share in divinity. That drop of water that's put into the chalice, meaning we share in the divinity of Christ, that drop of water fuses and diffuses in that cup filled with wine and becomes wine. It's not oil and water. God's got great plans. Everything's going to change for the better. Everything is going to change for the better. And he asks us to be ready, get ready, and to participate in this great event that's coming. He's given us the why and the how this is going to happen in the book of heaven. And he's asking us to begin to embrace this. Volume 19, 531, 1926. So remained Adam after sin. Adam lost the unity of divine light. Therefore, the source of the goods, the source of the effects that the sun, S-U-N, of my divine will contains, Adam could no longer feel the fullness of the divine sun within himself. Adam could no longer see within himself that unity of light that his creator had fixed in the depth of his soul. And that communicating his divine likeness to him, made of Adam his faithful copy, was gone. God wants to bring this back. That's why he redeemed us, him and his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now is the time, because of Louisa, to sanctify us. Before sinning, since Adam possessed the source of the unity of light with his creator, each little act of his was a ray of divine light that invaded the whole of creation and went to fix itself in the center of his creator, bringing back to God the divine love and return for all that had been made for Adam in the whole of creation. This is the rounds. This is what Adam prayed. He prayed the rounds. This is the prayer of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the rounds. That's why they taught Louisa how to pray the rounds and is asking us to learn how to pray the rounds. It's a new way of praying. It's the way Jesus prayed that he didn't teach the saints. It's a new way of praying that Mary prayed that she didn't teach the saints. Why? Because this is what they taught Louisa for now. Prayers are more powerful now in the divine will than ever before. Jesus says, he was the one who harmonized everything. Adam was the one who formed the note of accord between heaven and earth. And when he lost it, everything went into darkness. It took Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, to come to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve, to begin this abundant life again through the sacraments and sacramentals. And now Jesus says, I give to you, Louisa, the sacrament of sacraments, this great gift of the divine will, where I will crown my church. My bride will be perfect for this new era. Volume 19, 6/20, 1926. My ideal in the creation, Jesus says, was the kingdom of my divine will in each soul of the creature. My primary purpose was to make of Adam the image of the divine Trinity by virtue of the fulfillment of my divine will upon him. But as Adam withdrew from it, I, God, lost my kingdom in Adam. And for as long as 6,000 years, I, Jesus, had to sustain a long battle. But long as it has been, I, God, have not dismissed my ideal and my primary purpose nor shall I dismiss it. If I came in redemption, I came to realize my ideal and my primary purpose. And the primary purpose was that the kingdom of my divine will reign in souls. That's what God is doing today. Little by little, page by page, as we read, he's building within us this kingdom of the divine will within us. Our God loves us so much. Our God has such great things in store that he needs us to cooperate. Volume 19, 6/29, 1926. My little daughter Louisa, let us make our round. Here it is, praying the rounds throughout the whole of creation. Jesus wants us to pray this way. If you haven't got a prayer, know how to pray the rounds, you know, find the rounds of creation, find the rounds of redemption, find the rounds of sanctification. There are certain books. I love the Easter Pentecost rounds. They're all beautiful. But Easter Pentecost is a tradition of the church. This goes all the way to Christ the King, which is in November or October, all the way from Easter, all the way, all through summer and all of fall, we're praying the rounds of Easter Pentecost. Great things are coming. My little daughter, let us make our rounds, pray our rounds throughout the whole of creation, in which the supreme will contains its life and goes its distinct act in each created thing and triumphant of itself, magnifies and glorifies all the supreme qualities in a perfect way. What does she say? My soul magnifies the Lord. This is going to help us become more like Jesus, more like Mary, in a perfect way. If you can look at the sky, your eye cannot see its boundaries. Wherever you look, there is the sky, nor can you tell where it ends or where it begins. This is the image of our supreme being. It has no beginning and no end. The azure of the sky, our will praises and glorifies our eternal being that has no beginning and no end. The sky is studded with stars and is the image of our being. Just as the sky is one, so is the divinity one single act. We enter again into that prime act of God, that fiat lux, let there be light. Our Lady's fiat mihi, the incarnation takes place. And now the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in earth, on this dust, in this dust, as it is in heaven. But the multiplicity of the stars are works ad extra that descend from a single act and affects the works of this single act are innumerable. And the stars our will, our divine will magnifies and glorifies the effects of the multiplicity of God's works that include the angels, all of mankind, and all created things. See how beautiful it is to live in my divine will, in the unity of this supreme light, to be aware of the meaning of all created things, and to praise, magnify, and glorify the supreme creator with his very divine will in all of our images. See, it's the image all around us, in each created thing contains. But move on, look at the sun. Under the vault of heaven, one can see a limited circumference of light that contains this light and heat and descends down below and invests all the earth. This is the image of the light and the love of the Supreme Maker, who loves everyone and does good to all. From the heights of his divine majesty, God descends down below, deep into the hearts, even into hell. But he does it quietly, without clamor, wherever he is. Oh, how our divine will glorifies and magnifies our eternal light, our inextinguishable love, and our all-seeingness. Our divine will murmurs in the sea, in the immensity of the waters, and hides in the innumerable fish and of every species and color. It glorifies our divine immensity that envelops everything and holds all things as though in the palm of its hand. Our divine will glorifies the image of our immutability in the firmness of the mountains, the image of our divine justice in the roaring of the thunder, in the bolts of lightnings, in the image of our divine joy, in the little bird that sings and twills and warbles, the image of our moving love in the turtle dove that moans, the image of the continuous call that we make to man in the lamb that bleats, saying in every bleating, me, me, come to me, all come to me. Our divine will glorifies us in the continuous call we make to creatures. All things have a symbol of ours, an image of ours, and in our divine will as the commitment to magnify us. Our soul magnifies the Lord and glorifies us in all our works, because since the work of creation is a work of the supreme will, the supreme fiat, it was befitting for it to preserve our divine glory, whole and permanent, in all created things. See, Jesus is explaining creation to us, how it's all the love of God all around us. We got it. We have to begin to see, hear, smell, and taste all the I love yous that are around us. This is what the rounds do. Now our Supreme Will wants to give this commitment as inheritance to Louisa, who must live in the unity of his light and the souls linked to Louisa, because it would not be befitting to live in its light and not identify with the acts of the supreme fiat. Therefore, Louisa, my little daughter, all created things as well as my divine will await you. She's the firstborn to do this in each created thing. And now she's teaching us through Jesus and Mary how to do this in each created thing, to repeat its very acts, to glorify and magnify our God with the very divine will. Now, who can say, Louisa says, all of the images of our creator that all creation encloses? Who can describe all this? Louisa said, if I wanted to say everything, I would never end. So in order not to be too long, I had to say just a few things, and I did it to obey for fear of displeasing Jesus. So she was told she has to put this down on paper for us so that we can begin to understand what this is all about. This is really, indeed, a glorious time to be alive. Our Lord loves us. He's got great plans. He needs us to cooperate. And all that we do is say our fiat, we read, we study, we put this into practice. Every day, Jesus is teaching us more and more about creation, redemption, and sanctification. So we'll end there with this prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.